Diocese of New Zealand of the Ecumenical Patriarchate presents In the Narthex with Father Paul Patitsis. Join him as he shares with us the ancient apostolic faith of the Christian Greek Orthodox Church. And now your host, Father Paul.
Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand. I'm your host, Father Pavlos, of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church of Auckland, located in lovely Western Springs. We welcome you again to our program today, and we have a special treat. We have with us a visitor from Israel, the Palestine Authority, by the name of Sister Martha. And we'll be interviewing her today and talking about her very unique role in the Holy Lands. Please stay tuned. It's a blessing to be in the studio today with a nun of our Greek Orthodox Church, Sister Martha. And she comes to us from Gethsemane, a convent there in Gethsemane. And she's also the director of the Orthodox School of Bethany, and it's a school for girls. And I've never met Sister Martha before. In fact, as we are speaking now on the radio, I'm getting to know her because she's arrived, and she's been on a whirlwind tour with Father Vladimir of the Russian Orthodox Church here in Auckland, and now it's my privilege to have a chance to interview her for our radio listeners. So if you don't mind, I'd like just to welcome her now. Sister Martha, welcome.
Thank you.
It's a blessing to have you.
It's a blessing to be here.
And what you don't know is that I have a daughter who's a nun.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's a blessing too.
Yes, and she serves in Greece. So I have a sympathy for the monastic way of life, of course. And I wanted to, since we happen to be on the new calendar, we are on the new calendar, the Greek Orthodox, this is a great time of year for you to come because this is the time when we have our Virgin Mother, the Mother of our Lord, laid to rest, laid to her inner tomb in Gethsemane, as we say in Greek. And you are from there.
And I'm from there, but it's old calendar there, so we have another 2 weeks of fast to go.
Yes, I know. But I think since you are from there, can you tell us just a little bit before we talk about the school and so forth, what is the connection between the Virgin Mary and Gethsemane? Most people wouldn't know that.
We are actually in Gethsemane Garden. There is the tomb of Mother of God right there. It's just somewhat 20 meters from our convent away.
Yes.
So we walk there, all these services that happen in the Holy Land and in the tomb of Mother of God in this Dormition fast is actually
in her tomb.
It's there, and it's very close to us, and we all participate.
Now, how did she come to be buried in Gethsemane? What's the reason for that?
There was the family grave for that, so her parents were buried there.
Her parents were buried there. Joachim and Anna.
Yeah.
And so that was the place.
Yeah,
and of course, we spoke about, in last week's radio program, we spoke about the death of the Virgin Mary and about how all the apostles came and how St. Thomas, of course, wasn't able to come for whatever plan of God. But it must be quite a place to live your monastic life so close to Gethsemane, the place where the Virgin Mary reposes. Did you ever think when you were a little girl that you'd grow up and be a nun in such a place?
Not at all. Actually, I'm a convert to the Orthodoxy.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. You see, I come from a German family, Mennonite family. Oh. And my baptism in an Orthodox church was quite a shock for my family.
Wow.
So,
I come from the United States, and where we are from, our people in the United States, my parents, of course, are not from the United States originally, but they lived there for many years. But Ohio, Pennsylvania, we have many Mennonites there. It's a very large population of Mennonites. So I know a little bit about the Mennonite people. And to think that somehow you found the Orthodox faith. And if you know a little bit about the Mennonite church, you notice that they live a very monastic lifestyle.
Yeah, in a way, you know.
Yes.
Nevertheless, you know, one shock was the Orthodoxy, and the second shock, a couple years later, was my decision to go the monastic path.
Yes.
You know, so even though Mennonites are known for having quite a simple life and living in communities, nevertheless, it was quite a decision to make, and it was tough, it's still tough for my family.
Well, I don't know if they listen to the radio or they like to play from the internet, but you have to let them hear this interview, and they can say, oh, see what our beautiful daughter's doing, she's making a difference in the world, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, sure, they don't speak English.
that's
the language I had to learn once, you know, ending up in the Holy Land and running a school.
Oh,
Change gears a little bit now and talk to you probably about something much more important to you than how it is you came to be a monastic, and that is, what kind of work are you doing there in Yosemite? So we're talking now, just so you, our radio listeners know, we're speaking to Sister Martha of the Yosemite Convent in the Holy Lands. And so we have privilege to have her here at our radio microphone, and we're glad for you to be listening today. And now, Sister, tell us a little bit about your work in Gethsemane. What are you doing there, besides being a monastic? That's plenty, I'm sure, but...
I'm, since 12 years, I have the quite tough obedience in our monastery. I'm responsible for an all-girls school in a small town not far away from Jerusalem, just on the other side of Mount of Olives, in Bethany. And I'm also the sister in charge in a small orphanage that we have for Christian children from all over the Holy Land.
Now, when you say Bethany, of course, anyone who's read the New Testament, or who, certainly anyone who loves the New Testament, will know that Bethany was a place that Christ spent much time. He, Martha and Mary, of course, were from Lazarus. This monastery that you're serving, the school rather, is it in let's say, the Palestine part of Israel or Israel? I know that not even to say those words maybe is controversial, but where is it located in Israel? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's the toughest thing about it, because our monastery, being in Gethsemane Garden, St. Mary Magdalene Convent, is on the Israeli side.
Mm-hmm.
And despite the fact that our monastery is just 3 kilometers away from us, we are now, since 4 years, definitely separated through an 8-meter-high wall. So we ended up on the Palestinian side with the school and the orphanage.
And the orphanage are on the Palestinian
side. Yes, and the monastery on the Israeli.
And of course, for you every day, that's a commute through the wall. You have to pass through the checkpoints and so forth.
It's easier. We, the sisters who have our obediences in Bethany, we live also in Bethany.
Oh, I see.
But we go for all the services to Jerusalem.
Okay.
And we take also our orphaned children with us. And there it is the difficulty.
Yes.
Because actually, in the boarding section, those children that we, or orphanage that we have children from broken Christian families.
Yes.
And they come half-half from Israeli sides and from Palestinian territories, mm-hmm. having Israeli documents and Palestinian documents. So the difficulty is now that Palestinian children are legal in Bethany. Yes. On Palestinian grounds. Israeli children are not.
Oh.
And taking them to the monastery for a service,
yes.
It's legal to take the Israeli children over there.
Yes.
With those Israeli documents, but not the Palestinian, the Palestinian documents.
How difficult.
Yeah, so it's even going to church turns into a real challenge, because you break the rules at least twice.
Well, this is a sad difficulty of our present time, and a wound that's been there for some time, and perhaps not something easily solved, but something certainly worthy of our prayers, because God does want Jerusalem to be a city of peace. And if I remember correctly, isn't that what the word Jerusalem means, city of peace?
Yeah.
So
it should be, but it's quite difficult sometimes to believe.
And just to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Sister Martha of the Gethsemane Convent, the St. Magdalene, St. Maria Magdalene,
Magdalene Convent,
convent in Gethsemane in Israel. And also she is the director of the Bethany School for Girls, which happens to be in the Palestinian section or portion of Israel. Again, these are difficult things to talk about because if you're Palestinian, you don't refer to it that way, and if you're Israeli, you don't refer to it that way. And so I probably have messed it up from both sides.
Yes.
And I apologize to everyone. But
just name it Holy Land.
Holy Land, yes, Holy Land.
And you're on the safe side.
And now we're talking to her about this school. Tell us a little bit about the school, Sister. How many students are there?
This school year, we have summer holidays at the moment. We had 478 students.
478 students.
Yes.
Now, not all of these are orphans, I would imagine.
No. First of all, they go from kindergarten to grade 12. So in kindergarten, they enroll at the age of 4 and graduate at the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And the majority of these students are Muslim.
A Muslim.
Yeah.
And they are learning, I mean, forgive me for asking the question, I don't mean to sound provocative, but do they learn also about the Lord Jesus in that setting, or do we try to avoid that topic because there's so many Muslim students?
That's actually the very difficult topic always, because the school was established as a boarding school for Christian children in 1937, some 80 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it functioned as such for quite some time. But already in the 70s, all the Christian schools, and there were quite some of them from all the different denominations, the Greek Patriarchate has its school, and there were much more, of course, Catholic and Protestant and Armenian and Ethiopian. So all the Christian schools had the same difficulty, lack of Christian students, because after the establishment of Israel and later on the Six Days War, local Christian, Arab Christian, found themselves between Jewish and Muslims, persecuted quite from both sides, and they started to emigrate.
Yes, and we know that also living in, as I told earlier, I'm from the United States, and we have many emigres from Palestine, as they refer to it, and living in the United States.
Yes.
And you know, there are still people who love very much their homeland and hope one day, if not to go back, but at least certainly to visit and maybe even to reestablish their homes there. But that's the challenge of our time. So you have, at some point, the monastery made a decision
to keep this school. And in 1972, it was registered as a private Christian school. Mm-hmm. This was the time when the boarding section separated and left the time. Developed into an orphanage because of the backgrounds that the children are coming from. Mm-hmm. But in the school, we started to accept Muslim students. And at this very moment, Bethany is almost 99% Muslim. And the majority of our students, if not for the boarding section or the orphanage that we have, I'm afraid we would have an all Muslim school at a certain point. But at the moment, you know, we have a good 5%, which is a small flock.
But the point is that the Muslims enjoy sending their children there.
They highly value the Christian schools because in the society it's well known that the level of education in Christian schools are always much higher, both as in private Muslim schools and in government schools.
Yes.
So that's why if the parents seek really quality education for the children, they don't usually hesitate to take the children to Christian schools.
Now, are those schools, I'm asking out of ignorance, do the parents have to pay a tuition of any kind? And is that tuition enough to cover the costs of running a school, or is it an effort that has to be subsidized by the church, or how does that work?
Most private schools, of course, you have to pay school tuition. And in our case, what we can collect from the parents of our students covers at the moment about one half of school's expenses.
So the rest is covered by the goodwill of the church.
Yeah, the church and Christians. But this is actually what makes us financially independent from the state, any state, both Israel and Palestinian Authority.
Yes, yes.
And this, again, gives you the freedom, or at least gives you the chance to fight for your freedom, what you are doing within your school.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And you asked before about religion in such a school, and it's always a problem, because if especially with a majority of Muslim students, at a certain point, the Ministry of Education starts to dictate very severely, you know, their rules, saying, okay, why would you take off on Christian holidays? Mm-hmm. You want, you then let your Christian student miss the holidays, miss the school, but provide the school for Muslim students, and vice versa. Why do you have school on Muslim feast days?
Mm-hmm.
You, if you want to teach your Christian students, then do it, but let the children, Muslim students, have their Muslim holidays.
Interesting.
And this is all the easiest thing to solve.
Yes.
Most difficult is the religion, teaching of Christianity, or as they demand now, with a majority of Muslim students, we have to allow Muslim students to learn Quran in order to get the license for the school.
You've been listening to our radio program In the Narthex, and we're very thankful to have had with us in the radio studio today Sister Martha. And because this has been such an interesting interview, we're going to break it here, and we're going to also come back to you next Friday as well to hear the remaining part of the interview. And we thank you very much for listening. Remember, as always, this is a ministry of the Sacred Archdiocese of New Zealand, which is headquartered in Wellington, and whose arch shepherd is His Eminence, Archbishop Philochius. It is an offering of love to you, our dear radio listeners.
His eyes burn like sapphires, wheels turning in rings. I saw aluminum angels arrayed like a choir, hailstones falling, rivers of fire. Sank down in shame, covered in ashes, I called out your name. Oh, Jerusalem, city of...
Your language.